if I remember correctly, David Price like just randomly showed up in the dugout with Tim Hortons coffee, right? Is that, am I remembering that correctly? And everybody was just going bananas for that moment. That's like a Canadian historic moment with David Price holding a Tim Hortons coffee wearing a Jays uniform in the dugout.
Well, what happened was he got a flat tire driving from Detroit to Toronto, and then he couldn't get a replacement tire to fit his car, so it ended up getting towed, and that delayed his arrival. But I think it was on the Friday night, and he was scheduled to start on the Monday, that finale against the Twins. And then I don't remember the exact details of when he first arrived and what that looked like. But I do remember he had tweeted about how much he liked the popcorn at the Rogers Center, and in his locker awaiting him were two massive garbage bags of Rogers Center popcorn.
Yeah, like I love popcorn too, but like the garbage bag stuff, that's usually reserved for the people that work at the movie theaters at the end of the night. That's the scraps, man. Maybe they gave him the scraps, but maybe not. 2015, what
I
a year that was.
They did not give him the scraps.
No, I imagine that they made it fresh and delivered it to his locker that night. So maybe we see someone get a couple of bags of popcorn on Friday. Shy, maybe more players than just one if they make their debut at Rogers Center on Friday when the Blue Jays come back to Toronto to host the Kansas City Royals. All this speculation out there right now as to what the Blue Jays may or may not do at the deadline. I know you wrote in your post-game piece last night that as it stands right now, the Blue Jays are planning on buying. A lot of people wondering, you know, could they sell with where they stand right now out of a playoff spot with a couple of guys that are headed to free agency at the end of the season? Do you think anything could happen over these next three games that would sway the Blue Jays, you know, big way, one way or the other, and how they currently feel?
I mean, I suppose if, you know, and obviously we hope this doesn't happen, but you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette both suffered season-ending injuries, and they lost the next three in Boston, that maybe at that point you'd reassess a little bit. But, I get it, but I don't really understand why people are so fatalistic about this team. You know, it's not like that anybody ahead of them is so monumentally good that you can't catch somebody for the second wild card and get in the playoffs. And, you know, are you going to do that much better for Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien than a compensatory draft pick if they sign elsewhere as free agents? Why is everyone so ready to surrender on the remaining 2 months when, you know, a lot of signs around this team point to them being better than their record? You know, obviously the bullpen has been a factor, and that needs to be addressed. But, you know, there are a lot of parallels to the 2015 team. And, you know, you just patch up a couple leaky spots on this roster and this team could really take off. So, then bigger picture too, if you think about it, like there is, you know, opportunities to win and to get to the playoffs don't come easy. This is the beginning of what the Blue Jays hope will be an extended window of competitiveness. You know, you don't bail on a year of Vlad and Bo. There are positive indicators suggesting that you could be better than you are. So, you know, I think that this Blue Jays roster, you hear the players talking all the time about how much they want to fight, keep fighting, and, you know, just go out there and get after it every day. And you've seen the resilience. If the front office just pulls the plug on that, you know, that's not a good message to be sending to that group.
I want to ask you as well, Shai, a little bit about some of the prospects that we've talked about, and we don't have to get into their play specifically, but I mean, Rob and I, I think we got into the rain delay program earlier, right as Kendall Graveman was traded to the Houston Astros, right? And I think the return was Abraham Toro, Canadian Abraham Toro, and Joe Smith, former Blue Jay Joe Smith, for Kendall Graveman and Rafael Montero. And it was interesting because I think a lot of the sentiment we got on the text line and certainly on social media was that the Jays, and I'm sure a lot of other teams, could have quote unquote beaten that offer if that's what Seattle really wanted to do, get rid of Graveman and Montero. So if that's the case, what I want to ask you really is, how do you value prospects in terms of, you know, what it would cost to get someone like Craig Kimbrell, or what it would cost to get someone like Daniel Hudson? Like, where are you on evaluating prospects and determining what you would give up for either a reliever or a position player that you know is already really good versus the promise of a prospect who could be good somewhere down the line?
Well, this is where teams really have to know their farm systems well, right? And oftentimes what you're trading is your goal, at least, is to trade a prospect to that the acquiring team values more than you do, right? And you maybe think, all right, well, this player is only going to be this. We only think that this player will accomplish X. But the acquiring team thinks that player is going to accomplish Y, so they really want him. You know, that's typically when trades happen. And so this is a time where, you know, you've got to be right about what you have in your system. You've got to be honest with yourself, and, you know, you have to really trust in your projections forward. And that's sort of how deals get done, right? Like, you know, I think it's safe to say there are a small handful of untouchables in the Blue Jays system. Right, like Austin Martin's not going anywhere. Gabriel Mourinho's not going anywhere, unless some deal fell from the heavens that would make it worthwhile. You know, they're probably going to be trying to trade from, you know, the fringes. You know, guys who are going to be Rule 5 eligible who might not make the 40-man roster. You know, on the higher end, that could be someone like a Kevin Smith. You know, and they're, you know, goes downwards from there. But maybe they go up a little bit and trade someone a little bit up the food chain if they've got a chance to acquire someone like a Joey Gallo or Richard Rodriguez or Craig Kimbrell. But I don't think the Blue Jays are going to bankrupt themselves. And I think they're looking at this in terms of how do they keep this window open for an extended period of time. And they're going to need some of those young players to come in and contribute in order to sustain this moving forward.
Real quick, Shai, just because you mentioned some of those names when it comes to the prospects, like Austin Martin or Gabriel Mourinho, for example, maybe even an Aurelvis Martinez, depending on how you view him, right? But let's say, just for the sake of argument, that Cleveland comes calling to Atkins and Shapiro, and they say, you know what, Jose Ramirez is available, as we've seen in the last week, and the ask is for someone like Martin and Mourinho. Do you think that for someone like Ramirez's quality of player, that caliber of player, I feel like you have to do something like that?
I mean, I think, again, it depends on sort of where you feel that those players are going to ultimately end up, right? And Austin Martin has a chance to be a pretty special player, but there are some people who have a few question marks there. You know, Gabriel Mourinho has a chance to be a catcher of the future, but, you know, if you go back through, you know, from early 2000 onwards and you look at the lengthy list of Blue Jays catchers of the futures who never made it, you know, we're going back to like Kevin Cash and Robinson Diaz and Curtis Thigpen to J.P. Arencibia and Yan Gomes and Travis Darno to now with Danny Jansen and Reese McGuire. You know, it's tough, right? Like, they don't often pan out. So I definitely think they'd consider something like that. I do think that's a pretty steep price for them to pay. But, you know, Ramirez is one of those players where, yeah, that might make it, that might be, that you might say, okay, I'm willing to sacrifice that much future for this much presence.
Shai Davidi, Sportsnet baseball columnist, joining us here on Sportsnet tonight. Rob Wong, Show Alley with you. Blue Jays and Red Sox rained out tonight. They'll play two beginning tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Just a couple more for you, Shai. And, you know, there hasn't been a long track record for Ross Atkins in this front office in this position. We saw last year they went pretty much all rentals with Robbie Ray and Taijuan Walker and Jonathan Villar. So far this year, they've gotten Trevor Richards and Adam Simber, a couple of guys with control. Do you think they are more inclined to look for people that can help them this year and next year? Or do you think maybe the rentals are something that they're looking at? Or is it just based off of, you know, what's out there? There's obviously a lot of different avenues that they could go. But where do you think this front office is more inclined to go? Is it more towards a rental? Is it more towards, you know, someone that can be here both this year and next year as well?
The impression that I've gotten based on the conversations I've had in recent days is that the Blue Jays are looking to do a little bit more than they did last summer. They want to try and find ways to add some more significant impact than they did last year. And, you know, that could take the form of a rental. But, you know, under ideal circumstances, it's somebody with more than 1 year of control. And, you know, I think they're scouring the market for those types of opportunities. And it's not limited to just pitching or just outfield. You know, I do think they're kicking around the idea of adding a veteran catcher. I'm not sure how much that's going to happen or what the odds are on that. But, you know, there's certainly one area that they're looking at. But, you know, a lot of this is going to depend on price and how much, you know, that it's ultimately going to cost, because, you know, I don't think this is the year the Blue Jays are going to say, you know, screw the price, we're doing it, we have to do it. But at the same time, they do want to be aggressive, and they do want to start checking off some pieces that make this team better into 22 as well. So there's certainly a balance there, but, you know, if they had their druthers, they're going to do something upmarket from what they did last year. Or at least that's my expectation.